Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers. Welcome to another edition of Chart Choppers. I am your host, Alan Austin, and this week I am giving you my top 10 wrestling tag teams of all time. For those of you who don't know, I'm a diehard wrestling fan, and I brought along another diehard, maybe even more so than me, wrestling fan from the Sports Hit List. Carl Coulange is here. Carl, thank you for joining me.
My guy, Alan, you know you're my man. From Iona, thank you for having me. You know, I love to talk some good wrestling, and this list will be epic. Let's just leave it at that.
Sure. Yeah, I know. Here's one thing with wrestling, and it's just like a precursor to this list. Wrestling is not like regular sports. Like, yes, people will have their favorite player from their favorite team, but wrestling has years and years and different companies and different factions and different characters. People connect with what they connect with. So I'm going to give my top 10, and the fans at home are going to rip me apart. But remember, I wouldn't hate on your favorite wrestling team, wrestling tag team listener at home. So respect and appreciate the different opinions we all have. So
listen, I don't know about that, man. Let me hear this list. I don't know if I can respect your list. Like, tread lightly.
Yeah. All right. Let's get right into it. At number 10, I have the Road Warriors. Hawk and Animal. They were okay. So the reason they're down at 10 is I started watching late 90s and have gone back and watched a lot, but not Raw week to week. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't go back and really watch anything other than pay-per-views. So
you caught them at the tail end of their WWE run.
Yeah, I caught them when Draz was now a member.
Yeah. It's fortunate, you know, what happened to him too. He caught a pile driver and paralyzed him, which is
I gotta say, Darren Drozdov, Draz, before he got paralyzed, and obviously not, he couldn't be after, but I loved the guy. I loved the look. I thought, you know, whatever. I was young, I thought he was great. Sad, so sad what happened.
Quick story on him. You know how he got his gimmick. He just went into Vince's office, and Vince was like, can you puke on? He's like, I can puke on command. And Vince is like, go for it. And then he started doing it, and Vince is calling, and he's like, oh my God, he's gonna puke. And he's literally throwing up right on the spot. So yeah.
That's in the movie Beyond the Mat.
Yes, exactly. Yep, yeah. Exactly where I saw it too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So he had a gimmick called Puke for a while. Yeah, you know, the Road Warriors, Hawk, Animal, just the shoulder pads were always so iconic. The finisher, like everything about them, their look was awesome. And as a young kid, they stood out to me even at the tail end of their career. So they're down to 10, but the Road Warriors.
Okay.
Number 9. A recent one. Now, before the pandemic, the first couple of years when they really went off on their own and had their own shows, DIY from NXT, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Look, there were a bunch of those NXT tag teams, the Revival, American Alpha, DIY, all these tag teams having these killer matches on the NXT pay-per-views. And I just connected the most with DIY, Gargano and Ciampa. They were indie guys who came in, got put together, and just had these killer matches. And then they branched off into one of the greatest rivalries in NXT history. So out of those tag teams, I kind of had to pick one in my mind, and they were the one. So DIY.
Okay. I'm writing your list down and keep comparing it to mine.
Okay. Number 8, a team that I did not like at first, but as they went, I couldn't help but think they were making magic, and I really appreciated them. Team Hell No. Like, they really, really picked up steam. You know, Kane and Daniel Bryan, just opposites attract in this case. They had the fun gimmick of the anger management. Was it anger management or was it?
They did a whole anger. I think they went to anger management with the doctor
and Dr. Shelby.
Yes, and they had to hug it out, and they did that whole thing. Yeah,
and it led to them hugging in matches and the fans going crazy for it. I was a big fan as it went on, and it really warmed me up to Daniel Bryan, who it's gonna make a lot of people mad, but I wasn't a Daniel Bryan guy really. And then Team Hell No kind of made me appreciate him a lot more. Number seven, the Rock and Sock connection. Being a kid in the 90s, seeing The Rock versus Mankind. First pay-per-view my family ever ordered for me was Rock Bottom in December of 98. However, the pay-per-view feed was grainy. It came in gray with lines. So it was kind of like, I really didn't see anything. The next pay-per-view was the Royal Rumble 99. And I got it. My
family. Vince won.
Don't even get me started. The one.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
The one that Vince won, you know, yeah. Like whatever. But that pay-per-view was the I Quit match with Mankind and The Rock.
Was that the one in the MC Arena?
No, that was Halftime Heat.
Right.
So the Rumble, the I Quit match, the infamous one also from Beyond the Mat, where The Rock bashed in Mankind's skull with a chair while he was handcuffed a gazillion times.
Right. And then he pre-recorded him saying I quit, and he really didn't say it. I remember.
Correct. That. Yep. So seeing as like my fandom started around that rivalry, eventually to see them team up and at the 04 WrestleMania where in Madison Square Garden, them versus Evolution.
Yeah.
And just to see like them team up, I loved it. I love the Rock and Sock when they would do the double people's elbow. Just a really fun tag team. So a Rock and Sock connection at number seven. Number six, another team that the people at home are going to be like, how are they not higher? Well, at number six, the Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff. Here's why I will say, and this is purely young Alan speaking. I liked Jeff Hardy way more than Matt Hardy. So I wasn't a big Matt Hardy guy.
You're so cliche. I'm sorry. No offense, bro. I love you. No. You're so cliche with saying that.
There's a reason it's cliche, because everyone felt the same back in the day. Man. Now, don't get me wrong. As an older person and the way Matt Hardy's, you know, grown and had these different gimmicks and the broken Matt, I think Matt is the way more like well-rounded performer, even though Jeff is the quintessential.
Matt had a better storyline in his career than Jeff ever did when he fought Edge. Was one of the greatest storylines ever told.
I mean, it dabbled in real life drama. Matt, Broken Matt, one of the best characters in its heyday.
And version one too, man. Version one was great.
Version one was great. So I'll say that post the first initial Hardy Boys run, Matt's had the better arcs, the better career overall. He's really reinvented himself a million times. But Jeff is still so cool. Like, it'll never leave how cool he is. So at number six, I've got the Hardy Boys. All the love to the Hardy Boys. At number five, Edge and Christian. When I was younger, I did not like them. So at the first couple TLCs, I was rooting for the Hardy Boys. But as you grow up and you rewatch stuff, you really tend to appreciate just what Edge and Christian did as promos, as characters, the 5-second pose, all of it. Just really creative, really great. And their two singles careers were awesome. Obviously, Edge is a Hall of Famer. Christian should be too. Shout out to Christian going off into AEW to continue after 6 years on the shelf. Edge and Christian as a tag team, though, they're my guys. Like, I love them. Going back and watching those matches, they were the right call to win. Like, they were the heels stealing those epic matches. Great stuff. They were great. And when they brought Kurt Angle into their little faction, if you will, just great stuff. I love Edge and Christian. Number four is a team. People are going to just, they're going to write me. If they haven't written me off yet already, they're going to write me off for this particular take, because it's a team that only had a short run, very recent, and two guys that one of them people will be like, okay, the other will be like, that guy? All right, enough of the preamble. Number four, Team Rhodes Scholars. I know, like, for the folks at home, Carl is shaking his head in disgust, which is exactly what I expected. But here's my rationale. I am one of the world's biggest Cody Rhodes fans, from dashing Cody Rhodes to the masked Cody Rhodes, just Cody Rhodes in general, bringing back the white intercontinental title. Like, Cody Rhodes is one of my guys all time. So to see him and another guy who I really like, Damian Sandow, team up, this was kind of a response to Team Hell No forming, thus Team Rhodes Scholars, the mustache Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, trolling people nonstop. I was all in on Team Rhodes Scholars. I had the mustache comb shirt. I was all in, baby. And I just want to hear your reasoning why you're shaking your head in disgust at this take.
Out of all the tag teams that we've had, and there's been a rich history of tag teams dating back to the NWA, the WCW, the WWWF, you're going to sit here and pick the Rhodes Scholars, who maybe had a short stint. I don't believe they were even tag champs. If they were, I don't even remember them having a tag team. But I get it. It's your list, so to each its own, but I don't see how anyone in their right mind would pick that team as far as – like that doesn't crack a list for me. I don't know, man. I can't.
I understand.
That's disrespectful. I feel like it's disrespectful to the list of tag teams that come through the door, and you're picking Rhodes Scholars as a pick. Like, I'm struggling getting 10, and I have an honorable mention, and you're here putting Rhodes Scholars on your list. Like, what's going on here? But like I said, I guess it's your list, but I don't see how they make a list of anyone's top 10, no matter how charismatic and how entertaining they were. You could tell me you love Cody Rhodes as a single star. You can tell me I love Damian Sandow as a single superstar. But as a tag team, Damian Sandow was better as Miz's understudy than he was in the tag team. Like, we know this. Like, come on. He was better imitating the Miz. That's when he started to get over than when he was with Rhodes Scholars. Like, what are you talking about? Come on.
Well, man. I'll put it this way.
Be better.
He was over for me way before the Miz thing. But he was great as the Miz's understudy.
What?
Stunt double, understudy, what was he?
Yeah, he was like a Mizdow, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. he was great. He did was just mimicking the Miz. It was like he got over. Like, it was so awesome. But listen, like I said, your list, your show, I respect it. That's what you got going.
Doesn't sound like you respect it, my man. No, it's Team Rhodes Scholars. I love them. They are, and look, in response to what you said about the rich history and the WWF and the NWA, they were never my guys because I can't sit here and lie and say that they're my guys. Like, fair. I don't want to do that because okay. I didn't grow up watching them, and all the watching I've done of them have been in YouTube videos and just watching. So I was never fully invested in the storylines at the time. So I have a hard time. This is not who I think are the 10 best tag teams of all time. These are my 10 favorites. So I get okay. what you're saying. And if I were making a 10 best and put the Rhodes Scholars on the list, that would be so biased and unfair and illegitimate.
That's fair. I'm just a harsh grader. You know.
Oh, I know. Well, I know you're also a professor on the side. So that's.
Yeah, that's a. But you did that. I would look at you like, wait a minute. We got to go back to the basics if you're telling me Rhodes Scholars, but it's your favorite. So it's a favorite pick. Now you have me intrigued for your top three, because that's where it gets a little dicey, where you're like, when you really get to your top
yeah.
three, nitty gritty.
All right. So starting with the nitty gritty, before we get to that, we've got a break to help out our sponsors. So we will get to the top three right after this.
Hey guys, this is Kim from the Goddamn Jets podcast on the Chop Sports Network. And when you're me and you have to be on camera your entire life, you want to look your best. I need to tell you guys about Lashes by Kayla. They're my go-to for magnetic mascara, liner, and lashes. That's not all. Kayla offers eyeshadows, lippies, plumpers, blush, and more. This entire line is the first of its kind to market. The formula is vegan, cruelty-free, and hyperallergenic. Shoot Kayla a message on Instagram at lashes_by.kayla or visit shop.torybellcosmetics/kaylacosmetics.com.
All right, here we go. Top three. All right. The New Day. I have been intrigued and in love with the New Day since they finally flipped the switch after they came out with this horrendous, awful, Vince-inspired, that's all I need to say to get the implication across, gimmick that was flailing.
You talk about the first original gimmick they had, the original one where they just came out and they were just looking at each other kind of thing?
After that, where they came back after the promos of the choir, the whatever you want to call them, the church group, the choir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So where they were coming out, New Day Sucks started because of that gimmick. So once they flipped the switch and started to embrace the New Day Sucks chants, New Day Sucks. Like, that is in.
I actually have a unicorn from that too. I bought the unicorn.
Nice. Yeah. So once they flipped the switch and went from corny to embracing it and turned heel, they were amazing. And kudos to them for face turning naturally and being beloved baby faces without pandering to the audience. Like, it's been such a natural growth, both as heels and faces, where they're just stay intriguing. When they were heels, their promos were absolute fire. And the fact that they switched it to being baby faces and never did that baby face thing where they were just like mean spirited. WWE has this like odd fascination with their baby faces being bullies. I've never understood why. You know, even John Cena is like mean. He's mean spirited. He'll make fun of people. He'll name call. I've never understood that. And the New Day, even though they do that on occasion and they make fun of people, because of their heel initial start, I think it just works. Like, I think they have been so natural, so authentic. Any iteration of this team works. You know, there's no weak link. If you've got Woods teaming up with Kofi, if you've got Kofi with Big E, Woods with Big E, Woods with Kofi, like, any iteration is awesome to me. Mm-hmm. And New Day's got one of the scariest moves in wrestling, and it's Big E diving through the ropes.
Nah.
Always looks like he's going to get really hurt.
Yeah, listen, I can't disagree with you with the New Day pick. Originally, when the church theme came out and they came out like, this is terrible. What the hell is this? But then, like you said, there was a switch when it just picked up and I'm like, oh, this is great. And then like they started getting the heat and I'm like, yo, this is badass. And like I told you, I ended up buying the unicorn and people were like, why do you have like this penis on your head? Like, you know, like it was great. So I can't even disagree with you when it comes to the New Day. That's an awesome pick.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, everything you just said. And they're so good that you would want to wear a penis on your head with no shame.
Yeah.
Number two, I cannot deny that every time this tag team steps in the ring, I'm just like captivated beyond all doubt. The Young Bucks. They've earned it. They've created a brand. They've helped start their own company. And every match they have is electric. The characters they have are so good, especially when they're heels. I tend to think that most people who are really good at pro wrestling are better as heels naturally because they know the game. Like, they know how to play. And being a babyface is so hard, especially with troll marks who are always ready to just rip you apart. The Young Bucks are so over that it doesn't matter what they do, they'll be loved. But when they're heels, especially their current run now in AEW, is just absolutely
they're heels epic. Now, right? Yeah.
They're heels now. They're with Kenny Omega, the Elite. Like, it is just on point. They could wrestle, and the old adage, broomstick, they could wrestle two broomsticks and get a 5-star match. Mm-hmm. They're just like epic. And their moves are so well timed, they're athletic. Super kick party. I don't care if they go for spots 24/7. I am all in. Their matches build. I actually disagree with the people who say they're just, you know, going for these epic spots. I think their matches build. They're awesome. They're on fire. And I love every time they're on screen. Mm. That's number two.
Your number one, I'm curious to see, because based on your number one, that means you're leaving off some.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So that's why I'm curious to see where you go here.
Yeah. Well, let me give my honorable mentions.
Oh, you give honorable. Okay. Who you got? Okay.
And I'm sure a team you're thinking should be my number one will be here in this honorable mentions. Honorable mention number one, the Brothers of Destruction. I was never really an Undertaker or Kane kid. I would say as a kid, I liked Kane better probably because I really liked Kane with X-Pac. I really liked, I know you're the, I'm speaking to one of the world's biggest Undertaker fans. All the respect to the Undertaker, Brothers of Destruction, honorable mention. My next honorable mention is the Shield, who, you know, how can you not put the Shield in, but you put Rhodes Scholars in from that era. But I always felt that I did not like Dean Ambrose. No matter what the Shield did, I did not care for Dean Ambrose. I love John Moxley. And I think in his Talk is Jericho podcast appearance, he explained a lot of the problems with the Dean Ambrose character. And I kind of agree. Like, they had him do a lot of corny stuff. You know, he never was as exciting to me as Roman or Seth were. Yeah. But
you know what? I think, sorry to cut you off. I wouldn't qualify them. I don't know if they'd fit under that tag team. I think even though like say like you went New Day, right?
And
they're a trio, they were more so in the tag team division as opposed to the Shield. The Shield was always just, you know, I feel like they had a tag, like I think Roman and Seth won tag team titles, but I never considered the Shield a real tag team as opposed like the New Day I did because they did a lot more tag team bouts, you know. So I don't know if the Shield, I mean, I guess it's subjective in the sense if you qualify them, that's fine, but
I agree. The Shield and the Wyatts are all in the same to me. Factions that worked as trios more so than they did individual tag teams, where the New Day, like you said, has just way more of a tag team history.
Yeah.
Another honorable mention, the Rockers. Never my tag team, but any tag team that kickstarts Shawn Michaels' career and leads to one of the most infamous breakups in wrestling history, they got to get an honorable mention. Speed through some others. Demolition, honorable mention. Heart Foundation, honorable mention. These are teams that I appreciate, but they were never really my favorites. Mm-hmm. I already said American Alpha and the Revival. A team from the Attitude Era that I loved as a kid, Head Cheese, Al Snow and Steve Blackman. Another team from the Attitude Era, Too Cool. I really love Too Cool. Mm-hmm. I thought their dance breaks with Rikishi were amazing. Next honorable mention, a team that I thought was absolutely awesome when they were around, R-Truth and The Miz.
Oh, yeah. Miz Truth.
They were really great.
They fought Cena and The Rock at Survivor Series. Was that 2011, right?
Yeah, they were pretty much, I think, created to job out to.
But they were pretty good. They were very good.
Great music, great combination, just like R-Truth. Is one of the most underrated performers in wrestling.
But you know what? It gives credit to The Miz because Miz has been part of some tag teams that have been like just, you know, stints. Like Miz and Morrison, him, Show Miz.
Yeah.
You know, so...
this is one of them, those stints.
Yeah, those are one of his stints that, like, The Miz, you put him with somebody else, he makes good work out of it. So I think it's a lot of credit. Like you said, no disrespect to R-Truth, which I know is great, but you could put him in any situation.
Yeah, I forget who, but on your channel, the Sports Hit List, you did a Mount Rushmore of the greatest wrestlers of all time, I believe it was.
And yes, one guy said one of your
contributors said The Miz, and he caught a lot of grief. But The Miz is super talented, creative, and has a real great mind for the
first. Shout out to Ricardo Etienne. He was the contributor who did that.
Yes, it was memorable to see him do such a thing.
Yeah.
And my final honorable mention, actually, I want to give a shout out to the Acolytes, the APA honorable mention, but my final honorable mention is the Dudley Boys, who I was like anticipating you jumping on me because I know.
I thought you were going to leave them off completely, but I'm a little upset that you left them off, but I'm going to get to that.
Here's my rationale. I was always rooting for the other team for some reason, whether it be the Hardys, whether it be Edge and Christian, whether it be so-and-so. The Dudleys to me were cool. I thought they had the best tag team finisher of all time. So they get an honorable mention just for having the best tag team finisher of all time, in my opinion. Are you ready to go to number one? Or do you
know what your number one? I know what your number one is already. I already did a process of elimination. I know what your number one is. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. My number one is the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah.
My favorite tag team of all time. You know, they've always stuck with me. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X proudly brings to you you're whatever, however many time tag team champions of the world, the Road Dogg, Jesse James, the Badass Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws. And if you're not down with that, we've got two words for you, and you know what those are. So the New Age Outlaws, the Road Dogg, I have like five shirts from when I was a kid, action figures. Just I was obsessed with the New Age Outlaws. They were my favorite by far. Road Dogg's hair, I always thought was the coolest. Obviously, all the like innuendos of their merch and stuff, I didn't fully understand as a kid. So looking back, and like, here's like, I don't know, 9 year old me wearing a shirt that says "Doing it in the doghouse, doggy style." Obviously, I wasn't really sure of what that meant, but it was a Road Dogg shirt, and my parents let me wear it. So whatever.
Shout out to your parents for letting you rock that, because I know one of my cousins or you know or brother would just caught that and said he can't wear that. You know, like, as a kid, you know. That's, shout out to your parents for being goats. You know.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out to my parents. Yeah, and I love Billy Gunn, and. The Mr.
He's another one of them. And sorry, he's another one of those Mizzes that you put him in a tag team situation. He was with the Smoking Guns. He was successful with Billy and Chuck. He's one of those one like tag teams, like you put him in any tag team. And now even with his son, right? Like with his
Austin. Yeah,
right. So he's one of those tag team, like you put him in any, he's a half of a tag team that'll be as successful anywhere you put him.
Yeah. And you know what? I forgot about Billy and Chuck. They should make my top 10. Because Billy.
They did some awesome stuff, you know, and even before that, he was with, before Outlaws, he was a Smoking Gun.
Right? Yeah, with Bart.
With Bart, and Sonny was their man. Yeah, he did some good stuff there, you know, early and on.
He worked with the Honky Tonk Man a lot.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So let me just, quick Billy and Chuck, I think they have one of the best entrance themes of all time. You look so good to me.
Look so good to, yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
This is why I love having dialogue with diehard fans who understand. Because some people I talk with, like, they're just casuals. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, like, I could easily have a conversation with you because what you're saying is so true. So true.
Yeah. And you know what, Carl? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to bump the Road Warriors. So, they move to the honorable mention category. Okay. Everyone slides down one. And at number four are Billy and Chuck.
Wow. Because okay.
I love them that much. I know. How could you love them and forget about them? But look, I'm an old man now at my ripe old age of 32. You forget some things. But I would be lying if I said that I wasn't like all in on the Billy and Chuck gimmick.
Yeah,
like,
Billy and Chuck, yeah.
And they had the appearance on NBC to promote.
They had the wedding.
Yeah. So
that's some early classic stuff.
Billy Gunn, so underrated. People just like hate on him sometimes because I think maybe he didn't always have the best promos, but I thought he was epic. His King of the Ring run.
He won the 1999 one, right?
He won the 99 King of the Ring. He had that fun rivalry with The Rock, although I don't like how it ended.
Yeah. It ended at SummerSlam 99 with the whole like the woman, the teacher in the ass and I remember that.
Stupid. But yeah. Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, when they came, because they had some personal issues and demons, which led to their exiting of the company over the years. They are back. Billy Gunn's over with AEW. But when they had that return in the mid 2010s, where they were able to win the titles at the, unfortunately, the pre-show of the Royal Rumble from Goldust and Cody, I was like, I felt like that was like the definition of redemption for me, especially because they were my favorite tag team of all time. And just like as a kid, like I was obsessed with them. The Mr. Ass shorts I thought were the funniest things ever. Mm-hmm. I have a shirt, a Mr. Ass shirt. Like
Billy, you know what it is? Billy had so many gimmicks. He was the one Billy Gunn, like at one point, like he was Mr. Ass.
Yeah.
You know? Like he's in these tag teams, Billy and Chuck. Like he's had so many like character changes over the years. It's been, you know, you can't even keep count.
Yeah. My love for Billy Gunn, I think, is subliminally why I'm like the world's biggest Dolph Ziggler fan.
Yeah. Cause they're similar in some aspect. Yeah.
So Billy Gunn would be a top 10 favorite wrestler for me for sure. No doubt about it. So like Road Dogg as well. Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws. I'm just so into their gimmick when I was a kid. They influenced how much I loved wrestling. So they are number one.
So your list, so you took off LOD. So you'd go DIY, Team Hell No, Rock and Sock, Hardys, Edge and Christian, Then you put in Billy and Chuck, New Day, Young
No,
Bucks.
No, no. It would go DIY, Team Hell No, Rock and Sock, Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, Rhodes Scholars, Billy and Chuck,
Rhodes Scholars,
New Day, Young Bucks, New Age Outlaws.
Okay. All right. You ready for mine?
Go for it.
Okay. So I like your list. Your list is cute. It's all right.
You didn't like my list. Don't lie. Don't lie to the people.
I don't know, man. Listen, your list, to be honest with you, I have a lot of issues with your list, but it's your favorite list. See, me, I kind of went, I tried to do favorite and best. So my list is based on a mixture of both.
Okay. One, by the way, one honorable mention I left out because I just forgot about to put WCW in there. My favorite WCW tag team was probably Harlem Heat.
Okay. All right.
So one final honorable mention, but go for it.
All right. So at 10, I got Rock and Sock, and you had Rock and Sock on your list. It came to me, the entire, their dynamic is kind of like what you said with Team Hell No, two guys who really don't want to be partners, but they make it work and they are partners. So right. I love that whole dynamic. And especially the Rock couldn't tolerate him, but the Rock tolerated him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he says the stupidest thing. Like the best segment, which is one of the highest rated segments, is the birthday party that he threw the Rock, which was like, we had his teacher, his gym teacher come out. Yeah. It was the funniest thing ever. I thought that was classic. Number nine, I got LOD. Clearly, again, some of these things that you've said, I'm not going to spend too much time repeating them because you already touched upon them, but LOD cracks the list. Paul Ellering with them. One of the favorite moments is when they came down on the bicycle on their bikes during one of the WrestleManias in the crowd. If it wasn't a WrestleMania, it was a SummerSlam. But that's what I remember from them. It's just like, once you hear their song, you do get a rush. You just like to hear the, like their theme song, and they come down from Chicago, Illinois, that whole thing. Rest in peace to both of them. So they definitely deserve their flowers. Number eight was your number one, New Age Outlaws. I can't leave them off. They were definitely that tag team during the Attitude Era. I'll never forget when they joined DX. Basically, it was the night after WrestleMania, I think 15 or 14. I think it was 14. The night after WrestleMania 14, when, you know, Shawn had to leave because of his back injury, and Triple H comes out as like, I have to restart the army. He brings out X-Pac. And at the end of that show, they were beating up Terry Funk and Cactus Jack. And then next thing you know, Triple H hits and starts helping them in a cage match. And then you hear JR, he's like, I think the New Age Outlaws just joined DX, you know? So I think that definitely propelled them, and them working with Triple H and the New Age Outlaws, great tag team. That's my number seven. Number six, I can't believe you left them off, but I gotta go, welcome to the Uso Penitentiary. The Usos gotta crack the list. I'm sorry, especially after they reinvented themselves and they went heel during that 2016 SmackDown run, and they got the shirts down with Uso-ish. I remember when they first debuted with Tamina, I'm like, these kids are... Or lame. I remember when they did their whole tribal thing or whatever. But then the minute they went heel and they kind of went dark is when the Usos resurrected their career. So
I will complete. I think you jumped a number though. I think you said Outlaws were seven, but you first said they were eight. So I'm not sure.
Hold on, so 10, 9, 8. So the 10 was Rock and Sock. Mm-hmm. 9 was LOD. 8 was New Age Outlaws. Oh, you're right. I did jump a number. I'm sorry.
But wait, I want to comment on the Usos.
Go ahead.
I agree that when they kind of went, I don't know, they kind of like became like more like of themselves as opposed to the tribal thing, which, you know, is, it's never going to be over. Like, let's be real. Like,
yeah,
it's just not going to work. Like the way it got over is the way Roman got it over.
Yeah. They went heel on SmackDown. I think it was the 2016 draft when Daniel Bryan was the GM. That's when they started the whole down since Uso-ish.
And they were awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So I skipped the number. My seven was New Day. So okay. I had New Day. So I was kind of between New Day and Usos are kind of like the newer generation. If you're going to go with this new era of tag teams,
yeah,
New Day is definitely there. And Usos at six. So seven. So again, Rock and Sock 10, LOD 9, New Age Outlaws 8, New Day 7, Usos 6. The five, I'm really disappointed. Regardless, you said they have the best finisher, but then they're not on your list.
I know.
Dudley Boys. That doesn't make any sense to me, man. I'm a man of logic. How they have the best finisher, but they don't make your list. The Dudley Boys, can't get enough of them. I believe they're the only team to win the tag team in every single promotion or promotion that's still around. So, or was around. They won in TNA, WWE, WCW, ECW.
Right.
I don't think that's ever been done. So
they wouldn't have won in AEW, which would, you know, obviously.
Right.
But
right. Unless they come out of retirement and they go to AEW to win their tag team championships. But as far as like the top three brands that we know that respectfully in order, they're there. Dudley Boys were great. if you add in Spike Dudley into that whole mix and everything with that, them putting Mae Young through a table and,
yeah,
and all the women.
No. Look, if we were doing a list of best tag teams, they'd be top five.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they'd be higher than a lot of other teams that people
would play. Again, I just don't know how they have the best finisher and they don't make your list. I don't know how that works. But
I know.
And for me, the earlier Dudleys, like when they first arrived, when Bubba was stuttering and they had to hit him in the head, he's like, duh, duh, duh,
yeah.
That was just good stuff, you know? So they had to make my list. I was going back and forth between putting them five and four, but I don't think it really matters to me because they're going to make the list. The Hardy Boys at four. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we all grew up on them. Jeff with the Swanton off of any ladder was just great. You know, Team Extreme, you know, Matt wasn't really the focal point of that team. It was mostly Jeff and also Lita, but the Hardy Boys were just as successful. They had Terry Runnels as their manager early on. Great stuff. You can't go wrong with them. My three, my top three, I literally went back and forth. Like, how do I get my top three, you know, to make sense? It was really hard. But number three, I went with the Harlem Heat. I had to go. I was never a big WCW fan, but I went back in the archives and watched some of their earlier stuff. And they were just it. And you know, given the fact that there weren't many African-American tag teams and they were one of, you know, there weren't many there, they deserve it. And the fact that Booker T was able to break away and become a five-time champion and Stevie Ray was accepting of his, you know, younger brother taking the spotlight. Harlem Heat was great, especially you put them with Sensational Sherry. They had the outfits on. You know, I just picked up a Harlem Heat t-shirt. They have to be in my top three for sure.
Yeah, to comment on them real quick, I liked Harlem Heat a lot, but I liked Booker T as a single stars better,
yeah,
which is why they kind of got into an honorable mention because I think Booker's the star. Like,
yeah, Booker, absolutely, for sure.
You know, it's not quite a Rockers situation because I think Stevie and him had a really nice run in WCW. But once Booker made the leap to a single star, and especially when he came over to WWE, he became the Booker T.
Yeah, like, for sure.
And Booker T is probably one of my 10 favorite wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole King Booker. Have you seen my King Booker? I'm sure. Have I showed you that video of me playing King Booker?
No.
I'll share it with you. I did a King Booker one year for Halloween during one of the old wrestling shows I used to do. It's like, it's golden. It's good stuff.
Awesome.
But Harlem Heat number three. My down to my top two, I literally was crossing off. How do I book this? It's favorite or best. I can't. I think it's 1A, 1B when it comes to my top two. Before I give you my top two, one honorable mention, because you basically gave a list of honorable mentions. One honorable mention I would add to your list to make it a universal honorable mention, the Wild Samoans. The Wild Samoans need to be added to a list because I'm a big fan of the Samoan dynasty, everyone in that entire family, and the Wild Samoans kind of been the starters with High Chief Peter Maivia as far as starting that entire dynasty and right. Samoa and stuff. So I got to give my flowers to the Wild Samoans as an honorable mention, even though they should be on my list.
Also with that, because we talked about how the Usos kind of did the tribal thing. The Wild Samoans did it in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when I was commenting on how that'll never get over, I meant the way the Usos were booked.
It wasn't getting over during that time. No, because the song was so like, because I'm on top. Like, it was just so lame. It didn't make any, like, the whole thing. But
right.
This new Usos resurrection, it's good stuff.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah. My top two, it's really hard. It really is hard for me to go which team. I'm just going to have to say it.
Go for it. Gut feeling.
Oh, man. All right. Two is Hart Foundation. I wanted to put them one, but I had to go Hart Foundation. I was never old enough to watch them, but when I went back and saw how they formed, you know, Bret Hart didn't have the mic skills, but he had Jimmy Hart with him, and he also had Jim the Anvil, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But just that dynamic always worked. You know, you had the mouthpiece, and Bret was the greatest technical wrestler, still is, in my opinion. And you put them together, and the way they just worked well with each other, it just was during the late 80s into the early 90s before Bret went to a single star. It was great. I thought they were like, they, as far as pure wrestling, they had it. They had everything they needed to get. And my number one has to go to my favorite because we're going favorite. So I
go with the
bias, has to be ENC. There's no way I can't. Like, I was, anytime they took a 5-second pose, I was in the front of the television with them taking a 5-second pose. Nobody else in my group of friends liked them because everyone was so cliche with the Hardy Boys and they love the Hardys. I'm like, no, the real tag team is Edge and Christian. And I'll never forget it. I think I was like 14 going into WrestleMania. It was like 13 or 14 going into WrestleMania 2000, whatever, which was WrestleMania 15. there was a triple threat match for the tag team championship between Hardys, Dudleys, and ENC. And all my friends are like, the Hardys are going to win. I'm like, I'm telling you, Edge and Christian. And I walked into school the next day with my hands up, like, I told all of you that Edge and Christian is the best tag team. And nobody believed me. And they're all like quiet, like all upset. I said, Edge and Christian is low key the best tag team of the three. And I'll stick to that to this day, that Edge and Christian ENC, where they come out with the hats and the fake teeth. There were the Los Conquistadors at one point. Like, it's just like the stuff that you're looking at, like, it was just like with the kazoos. Yep. It was gold. It was just absolutely gold. And when they did the 5-second pose, you legit saw all the flashes of the light bulbs go off. I literally just got the ENC t-shirt for them. Edge is one of my favorites, but them together as a tag team for that 19, I guess you'd say 98 to about 2002. I think they broke up after Edge won the King of the Ring in 2001 because Christian got jealous and they started that whole little angle. Yeah. And stuff like that. So they had a great run, man. And I think they were like, what is it, like nine-time tag champs or something like that. I don't remember how many years they won the tag team championships. But yeah, ENC, number one for me. ENC for sure. My favorite tag team is the ENC.
Beautiful. Carl, tell us, thank you for joining me, sharing your list, hating my Rhodes Scholar pick. Tell everyone where they can find you and the Sports Hit List.
Oh, well, you know, I never get tired of saying it. I think my wife gets tired of hearing me say it because she can repeat it verbatim because I'm always saying it. Please make sure you check out the Sports Hit List by the fans and for the fans live on Wednesdays at 5. I'm going into my summer hours. So 6 o'clock starting this Wednesday. We also have a Smoke and Mirrors show that goes on Mondays and Fridays at 1 o'clock. Off the Top Rope is our wrestling show at 7:30 on Mondays. My wife has her own show on Thursdays. You can check out the B show. She's coming back from hiatus. And then we're also working with a lot of the other new shows coming out on the Sports Hit List brand. So just go to Facebook, type in the Sports Hit List, go to our YouTube channel, type in the Sports Hit List, go to our Instagram, Sports HL. And we just got a TikTok. I'm trying to try that out. So you can find us on TikTok as well. So, I mean, it's all over. All you got to do is just Google us. And if you want to listen to entertaining bunch of guys discuss sports and give their perspectives on different types of sports, just come up and just join them just to find out content.
I can't stress enough how hardworking and dedicated Carl is. He puts out a quality product and entertaining. So please check out the Sports Hit List. And Carl, as for my top 10, as controversial as you may feel, that's that. Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers.